Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to a very special edition of Podcast Chronicle and something to do with ours is the Fury, etc., etc., where we talk about Game of Thrones and Game of Thrones accessories. So this is House of the Dragon. They brought out the trailer 2 days ago as of recording, and we're going to talk about it a bit. I'm joined with Max and Falcon, two excellent legendary people, and we watched the trailer. This is it's a prequel to Game of Thrones of sorts, fantasy set in the same universe, but it is based on the George R. R. Martin works, two books, Fire and Blood.
Nailed it.
Yeah, sure. That's close enough. I mean, if people watching this know what it is. It's a TV program on HBO, maybe. Or maybe Pirate Bay. It depends. Okay, so...
Depends on your region.
I don't... Like, so I haven't read the Fire and Blood, and I honestly thought I would have read them by the time this came around. It takes place... I'm aware that it takes place in the Dance of the Dragons time, where the Targaryen house gets kind of split into two on a dispute over succession.
It says the story of House of Targaryen set 200 years before the events of Game of Thrones.
200 years. Okay. That's not that far, really, in Game of Thrones.
No, it's not. Like, if you think about in time, actually, that's not too far.
And in fact, if I...
The Targaryens coming to Westeros would be like 100 years before this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I've got the thing up here, the trailer up for the people at home, and I'm going to try and find the scene where they have all the shields out. There's the bit, the tournament they ride in. They have the shields out. Where's the bit where they have all the shields? I want to see the shields, because the shields will tell us like what houses have sort of not yet come around or die off or whatever. Here we go. Ooh. So I'm at the bit. I am 59 seconds into the trailer, and I'm looking at the same courtyard that is quite familiar in Game of Thrones. In the later seasons, it's the one that gets painted with the map of Westeros. And I think I recognize some of these bannermen in this scene. Do you guys have the picture up that I'm talking about?
No. Can you screenshot it for us?
I can screenshot it for you. And I'll pop it in the chat.
So what I'm looking at right now says that this is almost 300 years after Aegon the Conqueror came to Westeros.
Okay.
So it's a little bit further back than we thought.
Okay. Right, pictures in the chat. The one I recognize is the green one on
the original series. Hold on. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
The one on the right, there's a green fella with a green banner. I think that's the Tarly banner. Because the archer on and the green. I think... I'm seeing there's two banners with birds. See, I don't... There's actually not... There's not, like, Baratheon. There's not, like, Stark. There's none of the big ones. I think the Baratheons are around this time possibly, but they took their sigil and colours from another house.
Is the blue one not the what's his, the Eyrie?
The one from the Eyrie, Aaron. Well, I was thinking this. And I'm wondering how much these banners might have actually changed from Game of Thrones. I'm kind of interested to work out what kind of like changes have happened, because we've seen the Iron Throne itself. Mm-hmm. And that's a different, it's a somewhat different interpretation. There's a lot more swords.
That one's the same color as the House Arryn, and it's like the blue background with a white bird. So that absolutely matches.
But the bird is, I think it's like a slightly different.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a falcon.
Hmm. And as a resident expert on falcons, because that's,
for obvious reasons, yeah.
For obvious reasons. So yeah, I mean, kind of. So I'm a little interested in what kind of like how the consistency with the Game of Thrones show that we're going to get. Obviously, it's both on HBO. They're both of them are on HBO, so they can be as close as they want to be. That courtyard with all the Bannermen in, they were definitely. If I can find it again now. With all the Bannermen in the courtyard, that's definitely looks like the same courtyard. We see it a lot. I think we even see it in episode one where Jon Arryn was like laid to rest, and there's that scene with Cersei and Jaime right at the beginning, like their first scene together.
Yeah,
I think was in this particular.
I think so.
Yeah, it looks more like a bald eagle than a falcon, but I could be wrong. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. Also, we don't have a clue what these families mean. They might not necessarily be like major houses or anything like that. They're probably just a broad assortment of varying houses of varying importance.
Yeah. I wonder if they won't like name drop some of the main houses.
Oh, I'd love that. So I think in terms
of they existed. Like the Starks have been in the north. The Starks have been in the north since Aegon.
Yes,
like before Aegon.
Before Aegon, yeah.
So they had that. So they have to have been around.
Yeah. We know what houses. I think we know what houses are about. Yeah, because the history. Yeah, the history is quite well established at this. There. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what of the houses that we've come to recognize, what side they fall down on.
Yeah, so just looking through the IMDb for the show, you can see some of the characters' last names. There's a lot of Targaryens. Hightower, I remember hearing that name before. Yeah. I don't remember.
I think they are in Game of Thrones. Or they have something to do with the Citadel. They might be like the resident house of Old Town.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah, I think it's the Hightowers. That's what they're known for. And before Aegon the Conqueror came to Westeros, Old Town was the capital, I think. I'm creaking about with old knowledge, or lack thereof, of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I also see
Old Town.
Yeah, I also see listed a Jason Lannister. So the Lannisters are going to fucking be involved.
I wonder if this is before or after the whole Lannisters got their like tricked their way into having their own house.
I think that's after because I think didn't that happen during Aegon's conquest?
I mean, it says he's a lord, so.
Yeah,
I thought that legend of Lan the Clever was like very old, like so old that it could very well have been made up, type of old. Although that would have been an interesting mini series, wouldn't it? Lan the Clever and his clever ways, or like some of like the real old lore of Game of Thrones, like Bran the Builder and stuff like that. Although I don't think we'll ever see anything to do with Bran the Builder because I think. The idea of it is that it might be Bran, but they can't, like, it's one of those things where it's so much better if they don't confirm it.
There are a bunch of Targaryens who are listed on the IMDb page who are listed to have been in one episode, and I'm so worried for them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, can we assume it's a 10-episode series?
Yeah, it is a 10-episode series.
Okay, it's a 10-episode series. Well... That could be anything, really, couldn't it? Because I would guess there's going to be a big battle, if not two.
Yeah.
And
I really hope they can tell this whole story in one season, actually.
Oh, for sure. I would quite enjoy a selection of series or shows or whatever in the Game of Thrones world that last for a season and then, you know, cover the story. My guess is that it won't, though.
Yeah, I don't think they will. But it'd be pretty cool if they want to stick with House of the Dragon, just show a different generation of Targaryens every season or something, like The Crown. They change the actors every couple seasons and it goes forward in the future, maybe next season they could do next generation Targaryens are ruling and got Crown on the mind because of Matt Smith.
Oh, I saw a Baratheon shield in the trailer, that's kinda cool.
Nice.
One thing I did notice, Yeah, speaking of Matt Smith.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm excited to see him in something that is fairly serious the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Something where he isn't wearing
really
a bow tie.
He can't really play a Joker in this one.
I don't think I've seen Matt Smith in many things, actually.
I don't think so either. I'm going to look at his filmography.
Yeah.
You might know him from his most recent role in the hit film Morbius.
I haven't seen it either. No. I have not experienced more than time.
He was also in, I think, Terminator 5 or 6. I'm not sure.
I have not seen that.
Which one?
Oh, he was in Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't know that they made that into a movie.
Yeah, apparently.
I wouldn't mind seeing a Duncan Egg, actually. That would be kind of an interesting one. I'm sure we'll, to be honest, I reckon over the course of time, see, I reckon this will be good, right? I am legit pinning my hopes on this, and I genuinely think it will be good, and I think
they're taking the time with it, which is what they need.
Well, I think, to be fair, right, and I'm going to say it straight, I think Dan and Dave were the weak link in it, to be honest. I think everything else about it was great. I think the showrunners themselves, whilst they were good at sticking to largely to the source material, I think whenever they had to do anything interpretive, they fell flat on their faces with one or two notable exceptions. The one that immediately comes to mind is the scenes between Arya and Tywin Lannister. There were some good conversational bits there that they put together. So they, brownie points for that. But on the whole, particularly as well, I don't think they handled a lot of the sexual violence in the show very well. And it's one of the reasons why I hesitate recommending it to people now. But I think they know that in terms of a mistake. I think they know what people liked about Game of Thrones and what people didn't. And I think, I can't remember off the top of my head in terms of directors and showrunners, but I remember looking at them thinking that they were, in my opinion, decent choices. I think this will avoid a lot of the mistakes the Game of Thrones made, and I think it will legit be good, and I think this will be the thing that kickstarts the Game of Thrones extended universe, similar to what Disney have done with Star Wars. I think we'll see it'll be a Game of Thrones versus Star Wars amongst the grown up geek kind of thing. They'll be the two corporate competitors, I reckon, is how it's going to go. And both will be quite good, in my hopes. That's just my punt. And maybe it's overly optimistic. Hopeful. Yeah. Because I think a lot of it will be hit and miss, right? They'll do shows and series and they won't be as good. Some will be better than others. But I mean, honestly, I think what have happened with Disney, with Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, and Obi-Wan Kenobi, I thought it was all good, to be honest. No complaints, you know? Some of it's better than others, but all of it is, in my opinion, good enough, you know? It's worth watching. I watch it and I enjoy it and I have a big old smile on my face. So that's all I can ask, you know? I'm not asking for a perfection. So. I think this will be the thing. If they can do this, my guess, maybe, again, maybe being a bit hopeful, is that this might round off on two seasons, one for each of the books. and they'll do it with two seasons because they'll want to milk it a bit. They'll want that inter-season hype for sure. And because that gets people really worked up, right? It's the in-between bits of the Game of Thrones seasons people really went crazy for, and or crazy in rather. And they'll and then once they round it off, they'll have a good plan to round it off. And then once that happens, they'll sort of take that as license to be right. Let's continue with the five other shows that we've got lined up, and go nuts. And then at that point, I think our biggest concern will be Game of Thrones saturation. I think there'll be too much Game of Thrones. They'll milk it too much, but they'll do it in like little series here across all the timelines, all that kind of stuff. So there'll be stuff that we can sort of take away that we'll enjoy before it sort of fades away. Because I think like big expanded cinematic universes, they're the big thing right now, aren't they? You've got your Marvel, your Star Wars.
Yeah,
and I think this is going to be HBO's. Yeah.
Because like people like you mentioned getting like it getting too saturated and whatnot, but people like cling to shit and really like hold it as part of their identity, right? And
yeah.
So I think if people can keep reading, like, what's a book series that has a fuck ton of books? Like, I don't know, Dragon Riders of Pern or Discworld, yeah. Like people still are fans of that and still are consuming that, even though there's so much content of it. Like I think HBO can get away with this for quite some time.
Oh yeah, when I'm talking saturation, we'll be talking more than 10 years in the future at this point. If not more, and you know they'll. I mean, I heard there might be like things like animated series is in the works and all that kind of stuff. And it's so merchandisable. I think there will be. They did a Muppets Game of Thrones.
Did they really?
Yeah, there's like a Muppet, like a sketch. They did a Muppet sketch Game of Thrones. I reckon in the next 10 years we'll see a Game of Thrones for kids of some variety.
Oh my God! Sesame Street did a Game of Chairs, Game of Thrones parody.
That's it. Yes. Yeah. So I don't know. I think providing they don't fuck it up, I think it'll be good. I know that's like basically. Actually, I'm looking at all these scenes now. I do recognize quite a lot of them, and they look like, you know, like exact recreation of sets with some differences. I'm noticing maybe that the Kingsguard armor might be a bit different, but then again, that changes several times in the Game of Thrones show.
Yeah, it's true.
The thing I like about Game of Thrones that is the Game of Thrones world, the HBO stuff here, is costumes are great.
Yeah, like, the costumes are always amazing.
It's very rare. That's one of the things about historical dramas, and particularly with fantasy, that sort of breaks the immersion for me, is the clothes for some reason don't quite fit. Like they almost do, but they kind of. There's something about them, something a little bit modern or at a place, like they look costumey, whereas these legit look like clothes worn by people in the world. I don't quite know how they've done it. Like they've clearly got like the top talent doing this, because it's just great. It's even though it's an official trailer, it still kind of feels teasery, but then I guess when you've got something as deep as Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon type thing, it's always going to be, right?
I imagine the people who have read the books are like losing their shit over it in a good way or a bad way.
Yeah.
As one of us has to bite the bullet and read the books so that they can be the other thing. They can go through the series and be like, well, actually.
Well, I think I think I have one of the books, but it's not really like a novel kind of book. Mm. It's more like a history, or maybe it's a different one of his other many expanded books.
I wonder if I could get it on my Kindle.
I would. The thing, yeah. See, the reason why I didn't break past book, yeah, like the reason I didn't break past book one was because like you know, I don't want to say it in a bad way, but like I there's a part of me that don't think that thinks the books will never get finished. That series will never get finished. And I don't know, and yeah, like I don't know if I want to
dedicate so much time to it when it's not going to.
Exactly. Yeah. But House of the Dragon might be something, you know, because I like Duncan Egg. I love the Ice Dragon. Yeah. Is it the Ice Dragon? I've got it up here. Oh man, the Ice Dragon's the best. Yeah, the Ice Dragon. The illustrations in the Ice Dragon are lovely as well. Yeah, and it's very like it's very micro Game of Thronesy. So like if you look at Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire as Lord of the Rings, like the Ice Dragon is the Hobbit. So that's yeah, it's definitely worth looking out for. Yeah, the peripheral stuff. And my mum actually quite liked Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. So it's and she didn't get into any of the other Game of Thrones stuff. So a lot of this stuff stands on its own really nicely, I think. But I love the thick world. The thick world?
Yeah.
Thickness.
Yes, I like found it. The World of Ice and Fire, that's the book I'm thinking of. Is that one of the ones it's based off of?
No, I think it's based off of the books. House of the Dragons.
Yeah, House of the Dragon. No, Fire and Blood. That's what you.
Fire and Blood. Okay, yeah, no, I have not read that one.
So, because one of my favorite parts about the Game of Thrones show all the way through, and one of the things that did leave me disappointed in how it ended, was how much they took from the War of the Roses, and then towards the end, how much they kind of squandered that. Because the War of the Roses, you know, is like you got House of York, House of Lannister. You never guess what those two are sort of, you know, represented by. And then it's like you have the coming together of the houses, so into the House Tudor. And so I always thought that the fundamental ending would be someone from Stark marries someone from Lannister, so it could have been Tyrion and Sansa, and they join their houses properly, and that would be like the resolution of the show, the coming together, the peacemaking. And of course, that kind of didn't really happen, but like in it kind of did. Like Lannister and Stark sort of made their peace together in the end. Because House Lannister was fundamentally Tyrion by the end of it, right?
Yeah, functionally. So,
yeah.
It does. Okay, so I did find on the Wikipedia page for Fire and Blood, the book, it does say that the House of the Dragons is based on the second half of the first book.
Oh, the second half. Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they do decide then to how long they're going to stretch it out for. My guess is that they're going to stretch it out over seasons because there are a number of battles. Having an entire, you know, war, a multi-tiered, multi-level conflict is a lot to put into 10 episodes, especially if you're doing it the Game of Thrones way.
That's true. But
I don't know. It could be. I don't know.
I'm seeing that it was already renewed for a second season.
Oh, well, so there we go.
Yeah, at least two. We're getting at least two.
Mm. Well, it's August 21st. So what's that, a month away? Yeah. Christ, only a month away. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be following it as I'll probably be doing like weekly videos, chats, whatever, because it's like, you know,
I'll definitely be watching it every week.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna try. I don't know if I'm gonna be on like on time with it, but I'll definitely try to watch it.
Awesome. Cool. All right. Any closing thoughts before we crack on?
One thing that really I liked about the trailer was they showed he mentioned the splintering shields, and at that point they did show a shield breaking, which is so cool to me because they never show shields breaking in these kinds of things, in these medieval kind of things. They never address the fact that hey, that shield is made of wood and it's breakable.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really cool that they actually did show that.
Well, yeah, that's kind of true. Yeah, I mean, I think there were a couple of shields breaking through Game of Thrones, right? But not many.
Not that I remember, but yeah.
I remember the end of Battle of the Bastards where there was arrows going through shields. So you had Ramsay and Jon Snow facing off, and Jon Snow was using the Mormont shield to block the arrows, and the arrows were coming through the shield. Was there and I'm thinking of the tourney of the hand in episode season one.
I don't know if there were any shields broken in that one.
There were lances broken, maybe.
Yeah, well, lances break all the time. Watch A Knight's Tale; you see 1,000 lances break.
That's true. Well, it's fair point.
That's my final thoughts was I thought that part was really cool.
My final thoughts is hopes are high. I'm pinning my hopes on this, right? I know it's stupid, I know it's foolish to do, and I know that a number of people, many people who are I'm not getting my hopes up for this, I'll watch it and see how it pans out, but they ended it badly, and in all honesty, even though the end of Game of Thrones was not quite as satisfying as it could have been, there were parts of it that I could take out, and I thought were quite good. I like the ending of the Jon Snow's ending. I thought that was particularly good, right? Because it rounded off nicely. It was he went north with the Wildfolk, because that was home, right? It kind of, his story was basically home isn't where you come from, it's where you belong, right? Where it's he's Jon Snow the Bastard. And if you go on YouTube, you can find the montage of Jon the Bastard, and every time Alistair Thorne calls him a bastard, or someone calls him a bastard, and he gets called a bastard hundreds of times throughout the show. And it's the one place where he isn't a bastard and people don't care about his his family or anything like that, it's north of the wall. So of course he's gonna go there. Right? He would Jon Snow sitting on the throne is the place he would least like to be and least belongs. It would be the opposite of how the show should end. So I think they nailed Jon Snow. I liked the idea that they were there were subtle, insinuations that he might have been king, that he would make a good king, and all that kind of stuff. But that they switched it out and goes, yeah, I'm just going north of the wall. It's where I belong. And they didn't say it either. It was one of those show don't tell kind of things. And if they'd have done it right, Jorah Mormont would have gone north of the wall with him, which I believe was the original idea for Jorah Mormont, rather than dying with his queen. Because Jorah Mormont, of course, had to escape Westeros because he was selling people into slavery to basically appease his wife, who liked fancy things. And then, he went to work, I think, for the Golden Company, and then, of course, went into Daenerys Targaryen's service. And, the thing about Jorah Mormont is, he can't say no to women he falls in love with. That's, his thing. His big character failing. And then I suppose, when he dies for Daenerys Targaryen, he died because he fundamentally latched himself onto someone he fell in love with and died for them. Whereas I think a better resolution would have been, join a Night's Watch, swear off women, go north of the wall, find a nice wildling lady and just have a normal life, and chill out, stop glowering all the time and all that kind of stuff, that would have been a healthy resolution for Jorah. It's he would sort of realize, oh, hang on a minute, I clearly have a problem, falling in love with women, basically. I don't know, that sounds a weird way of putting it, but he does, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he has an unhealthy relationship with women. So, or particularly women in society and all that kind of way. So yeah, like, you know, go somewhere where a woman isn't going to make you sell people into slavery to get her nice things or something. Just like, you know,
yeah.
go for a walk in the snow and have a chill, you know, freeze those nuts off for a while. I don't know. But yeah.
I wonder if we're going to see any more mods.
Oh, well, I reckon so.
I hope so.
I mean, yeah, the Mormonts are a good family. Like, they're always a bit of banter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to see Bear Island.
Yeah. Cool. All right. I think that's a good time to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Thank you both for joining me. It's been a pleasure. Can't wait for this. Yeah, hopes are absolutely high. And I'll be so disappointed if this ends up being rubbish. But so far, all signs pointing to it being pretty good. So there you go.
Fingers
ta-da! Goodbye!
Bye!
Bye.